Monday, August the 9th, was a day of shooting stars. Before noon, I helicoptered out to NIH with Lyndon. The purpose was to sign the $280 million Health Research Facilities Act. The setting, dramatically, was in front of one of the big, handsome buildings in this research center, facing a serene, green lawn, now crowded with people, patients, nurses, doctors. On the platform, Luther Terry, Surgeon General of the U.S. Public Health Service, Tony Celebrezze, Lister Hill, practically the father of the legislation sponsoring so much of the medical research this government is engaged in, and the other heads of committees, both Democrats and Republicans, before whom the health bills come, had all flown out in the helicopter with us. Lyndon called this a quiet battleground on which the United States leads a worldwide war on poverty. It was a beautiful speech, and I have never seen a more intensely interested audience, caught up in a kind of fervor. And as I looked at some in the audience, obviously patients, attended by nurses, some of them, I thought of all those who had won or lost here. Whitty's sister, who's battled with a brain tumor, has been a wonderful victory because of NIH. Bobby Russell, who lost. And on the platform, Sevilla Sacasa, whose little girl, Julia, is having constant treatments here that may save her. I was interested to see quite a number from the diplomatic corps, several African faces. There was much drama in the day. Right outside the laboratory walls, they were hearing about the America that was pioneering to find vaccine for measles, was attacking rheumatic heart fever, and was anxious to give to the whole world these treasures it would learn, so that malaria, for instance, could be eradicated everywhere, just as it has been in the United States. I, like everyone there, must have offered up one more little prayer for a 10-year remission from war, so that we could apply ourselves, our wealth, our brains, to this kind of battle. Lovely Mathilda Krim, Dr. Krim, herself a biochemist in cancer research, was with us, watching very interestedly. She works for the Sloan Kettering Institute in isolating a virus that may produce cancer. In the course of the speech, Lyndon announced the coming retirement of Dr. Luther Terry and said he was going to find the most adventurous, imaginative doctor in the country as his successor. I don't know where he is, but we're going to look for him. I left Lyndon to tour the leukemia wards and others and raced back in the car to the second floor to meet Clark Clifford and Buzz and Bill Moyers. We were to have an hour's lunch to pool our thinking and make our plans for the announcement of the Lyndon Baines Johnson Library before we got together with the principals from the university at 2:30. We decided Bill Moyers ought to announce it at his 4 o'clock briefing. The news would be getting around, we'd better tell it straight, release the two letters, answer questions before any leaks started. I was so happy to hear that Clark and Bill Heath, working together, had been able to find Dr. Ransom on vacation up at Cape Cod and get him down in a big hurry as the wise backup representing the university, able to answer any questions the newsman might put to him. Greatly respected in the world of education. You'll be very valuable at this meeting. I told Bill Moyers Liz's suggestion that all the Texas press be called immediately our decision was made, so they'd have plenty of time to get to the 4 o'clock meeting if they wanted to come. Bill lives under the most intense pressure. We hadn't been there 15 minutes before he got a rush call from Lyndon to report at once to his office. He took the two letters to get the mimeograph to dispense the press at 4. Promised to meet us again, and left without lunch. Clark and Buzz and I had a delicious lunch in the first floor dining room. Clark has that marvelous soothing ability to impart a feeling of order and leisure to even the most frantic meeting. And when we got to coffee, we went upstairs to the West Hall, and there I met Bill Heath, Dr. Ransom, Frank Irwin, Frank Eichard, and Lawson Knott. Thank heavens I had the presence of mind to begin our talk with just a little 2-minute round-the-room discussion of thanks.